I forget how touching it is. And how it so perfectly flies in the face of what our culture says is beautiful. Doesn't it? Our culture is messed up about beauty. And I'm glad so many of you younger girls are here today. Because you need to know that the things that our culture says are beautiful are just what they say. They're not what God said. You know, they're what Satan has said. And so we need to recognize that what Satan says is always a lie. Always. You know, God is the one who created us. He created us to be what we are. You know, we look like what He wanted us to look like. So we need to realize that Satan, who is the father of lies, and we see that in John 8:44, that he's the father of lies and everything he says is a lie. He's also called the prince of this world. And you know, this world is passing away. You know, it's not going to be here forever. But God is. And what God says and the truth will never pass away. And so today, as we talk about self-esteem, I think our culture has done a number on us, it's women and men, about what it is to be valuable. And what we need to decide is that who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to believe? That's really the message of this lesson, is don't believe a lie. You know? Society has picked a certain body type and says it's beautiful. And most of us don't have that. I mean, you know, we're all different. And society has picked a lot of different things to say they're valuable. Are you athletic? Are you super smart? Are you skinny? Are you super talented? You know, that's what society has told us that's valuable. You're important if you are rich, or, you know, if you're super successful. That's what's important. But we need to realize that honestly, God doesn't necessarily value any of those things on their own. What He values is us and how He made us. And yes, He gave us different gifts and abilities. But what were those for? They're certainly not for us to exalt ourselves and to become something in the world's eyes, but they're for us to exalt Him and to glorify Him with those things. Satan tells us that the way to the life is through all these things, you know, that are external, that are on the outside, and that won't last. But Jesus says that He is the way to life and to God. The problem is that Satan is really doing a good job at convincing our world and our culture of the way he thinks. You know, we always have to remember that Satan's one goal is to destroy us. You know? And so all of the things that he does are destructive, and all the things that he puts out there. I want to tell you about two studies that took place, and I want you girls especially to listen to this. One of them was the effect of the ideal model in the media on the body image of females. To females, body image defines who they are. Because of our society, women let the external define them. To further this complex that women have, media does not make the issue any better because of digital technology, where women who actually have flaws appear to be flawless in magazines and things. Another study by Vaughn and Spout examined girls between the ages of 9 and 14 years across a 16-month period. The researchers found that the girls who significantly increased their fashion magazine reading had an increase in eating disorder symptoms, and vice versa. If you stopped looking at, you know, fashion magazines, then your image of yourself became better. I think we've got to realize, maybe especially as moms of girls, and even just women in the church who mentor girls, even as women who are older, that it's hard not to let those things influence us and make us feel a certain way about ourselves. You know, because that is the prevalent thing in our culture. But we have to, you know, for our girls' sakes and for the women of our congregation's sakes, we have to do that. We have to see what the truth is about why we're valued. And that's where self-esteem comes from. This obsession with our outward appearance and what we can do is kind of relatively new, not new, but relatively new in the scheme of things. There was a study done by a woman named Joan Brumberg, and she's a professor of studies, women's studies at Cornell. And in her book, she wrote a book called The Body Project. She studied the diaries of teenage girls from 1830 to up till now. What she found was that it had not always been this way. Our culture has not always been this way, of course. She said she was impressed with how little was mentioned about girls' bodies in their diaries of teenage girls in the 19th and early 20th centuries. A man named Bruce McClarty from Harding has done a huge study on this, and he was preaching about it one night. And he said, he told that about that research. He said, afterwards, a 70-year-old woman showed me the diary she had written in 1946. The year she was 15, turning 16, and she'd gone home after he did that lesson and thought, well, I wonder what my diary, said. She couldn't remember. And so she went home and she read it cover to cover. And she said she was stunned by what she read. Though she had written freely and extensively about her family, school, good friends, cute boys, she was shocked to discover that she had not written one word about her look, her hair, her weight, or any of those things. So our culture has turned into this really messed up, perverted system that we're in the world, and so it's around us and it affects us. But how do we be in it and not part of it? We have to realize that when we need to seek the truth about it, and that our identity has to come from someplace other than this physical body and what it can do. Our identity has to be found in Christ. Let's look in Colossians 3, and we'll kind of camp out there a little bit. Okay. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on the things of this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, get this next line, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then also we will be revealed with Him in glory. It's interesting that he says, set your mind on things above, keep thinking about Christ. If you've been raised with Him, if you're a Christian, you set your mind on those things. And he says, for you died. This is, when we die with Christ, it's no longer about this right here, and all the things that our physical body can do. Because, as the next verse said, Christ becomes our life. Isn't that a beautiful thought? And that when He's revealed, just think about, people have never seen Jesus on this earth, since He died. And when He's revealed, since He came, and you know what I mean. When He's revealed again, Paul is essentially saying, that's when you'll really be revealed. That's when people will really see what you are. This is just fading. This is just temporal. So that's what we have to be working on. Just as the world, seriously, and we're not immune to it. I'm not trying to say that I'm not concerned about how I look. I'm not saying that because, you know, I am. I wish I wasn't as much. And I'm working on it. And I'm getting older, so, you know, it helps. But it really does help to see things a little clearer as you get older. But as we work on this thought about being revealed with Christ, who we really are, in the same way that the world works so feverishly on their body, then let's try to work that hard on what's real, our inside, our spirit, what belongs to God. And that is where, when we start finding our identity there, then the things of the earth, they still matter. You know, we're here. We have friends and we love people and our life is going on here. But when we're concentrating on things of the Spirit and on God, then those things are not so heavy and so all-important anymore. In Philippians 3, verse 4, let's turn there. It says, Paul said, even though he was, you remember when Paul was telling them why he could brag, if anybody could brag about their heritage, then he could, about the flesh. And he's telling them all these reasons. He said, even though I could have confidence in my flesh, if anyone has that, then he goes on to say that he counts all things but loss for what he gained in Christ. You know, so we need to realize that even though sometimes we do have, you know, we might have physically things to boast of if we're really good at, you know, certain things or whatever. In the worldly way, we might say, well, I'm proud of that. You know, I have a reason to boast. But Paul is saying all those things are really just, you know, they're not worth anything. And we need to value our life in Christ more than those things. Okay. When we think about identity, that is really where we usually get our self-esteem, how we value ourselves, who we are, you know. And I think that is our problem with our current culture, is we find our identity in things that are transient. They're moving and they change. You know, if I go and buy the latest outfit that's popular this year, it's not going to be the same next year. And those things keep changing, you know, those outward things. And so if my identity is in Christ, how is that going to look? Okay, how is that going to show itself out? Like if I was trying to tell you, describe somebody to you, you know, I would say, well, she has brown hair and has on a green jacket and or a shirt and all these different things. And you could say, oh, well, yeah, I see her. Okay, so if I'm trying to describe you to somebody, not physically, but your character, what's inside you, how am I going to describe that if we're trying to be more and more like Christ? And back to Colossians, it gives us a picture of what that description would look like. So we're going to look there real quick again. Colossians 3, 12-17, he gives us a picture of what we look like when we're God. And he starts out in verse 12 by saying, so as those of you have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, and then he starts telling things to do. Okay, we need to realize that the most valuable thing about us is that we're chosen. We're beloved. We're dearly loved by God. And that's enough. You know, that is enough. If nothing else is going right for us, we're chosen. We're dearly loved by God. And that's enough of what could make up our identity, okay? I'm God's child. But what does that look like? Let's look and see what he wants us to be if we're his child. He wants us to, number one, put on a heart of compassion. As we think about this, especially you girls who are still, you know, school age, either in school or college or whatever, I want you to, all of us, I want you to contrast these things that he tells us we will look like if our identity is found in him and what we see in the media, or, you know, in our popular culture, okay? Think about how different those things are. So he says we'll have a heart of compassion. We'll be kind. will have humility, gentleness, patience. We'll learn to bear with others, or, you know, keep on helping them, listening to them. We'll learn to forgive others, no matter what they do. And then we'll learn love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Because of all these things, if we're in Christ, the peace of Christ will rule our hearts, and we'll learn to be thankful in all things. There's no way that we can see these attributes in our life when we're obsessed about the outside. You know, you can't, those two things don't coexist, you know. In contrast, he gives us a picture of what a worldly identity looks like. Up in, let's see, he's in verses, let's start with verse 5. When he says, when you've been raised with Christ, I want you to consider the members of your earthly body dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. And then on down in verses 8 through 10, through 9, he says, he wants us to put away some stuff. Greed, anger, wrath, abusive speech, malice, slander, and lying. Look how different those two lists are of identity. They don't coexist, really. You know, we can't be both. And so it is a hard thing to choose to not think about what's important to the world and to choose only to think about things above. We see these worldly things in our culture, and our culture has accepted them. You know, that wasn't always the case, but it is now. Our culture is okay with immorality, impurity, you know, evil desires, and all these things. They are in direct opposition to each other. So how do we guard against those things, in, you know, filtering into our lives? And how do we help our daughters and young women guard against it? I want to look in Romans 12. Verses 1 through 8. Okay. Romans 12. He says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Or another translation says, which is your reasonable service of worship. Okay. I want us to think about that verse for just a second. When he says, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. That is not, I mean, that's a mouthful. You know, that's hard to do. Present your body a living and holy sacrifice. He is saying to us, in the way that you present yourself to the world, it should be holy. And it should reflect me. But then he goes on to say, which is your reasonable service of worship. You know, God feels like it's reasonable to ask a lot of us. He, you know, sometimes I think it's interesting how people will say, you know, all these things are going wrong or whatever, and they don't understand why God would let bad things happen. Well, God didn't. He's never had a problem with letting trials come into our lives. He even says that, you know, the Lord chastens whom he loves, or disciplines whom he loves. Trials and hard things make us better people. They make us closer to God because we realize that we don't have it all together. You know, that we have to have God in order to get through this life in a good way. So God is not, he says it's reasonable for him to ask us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And then he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And to prove, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay, so present your body a living sacrifice. And be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that, again, is that thought of we have to be constantly connected to Jesus in order to have our minds renewed and to not be thinking of things the way the world does. Let's look real quick. Okay. I'm sorry, I lost my place. Okay. He goes on down in Romans in 12 and then in verse 9, and he has another list of things that will look like if we choose to concentrate on the things of Him instead of the things of the world. And that's a long list, so we won't read it right now, but read it sometime. Romans 12, 9 through 21. One of the things that stands out in those verses, though, is that he says in verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. When you think about how the concept of beauty and the value that the world places on the physical, there's nothing in it except haughtiness and high-mindedness. And he's saying, don't think like that. He calls, in 2 Corinthians, he calls, let me just read it here. He says, for we know that the earthly tent, which is our house, when it's torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So God has always meant for this body to just be something that's passing away. You know, that's growing old and that will eventually go back, you know, what's in it will go back to Him. It's just a shell. He calls it a tent here. And if you think about it as a tent and how our culture worships the physical body, isn't that strange? Can you imagine going on a camping trip and setting your tent up and then bowing down to worship this tent? It has a purpose. It's just for you to stay in. You know, it's not this great thing. It's made for something. And that's the same with our body. It's made for something. It's a house for our soul that will go back to God. And so it's crazy how high-minded our culture has become about things that that were never meant to be something so important, like this tent, our earthly bodies. Paul also says there that we are prepared with courage. I'm sorry, I don't have that verse written down beside it. Knowing that our home, that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, and so we are prepared. We're always preparing to leave that home. And isn't it interesting how our culture today, all they're trying to do is preserve that home? Youth is revered as, you know, the most important thing, isn't it? It's strange how there's, you know, the beauty industry sells so many products and there's so many things out there that try to make us look younger. And so as Paul was saying, you know, when you have your identity in Christ, you're thinking about that other place. You're thinking, this is, I'm going to do the best I can to glorify God while I'm here, but the other place is the one I'm really excited about. And so it's hard for us to live that way. But if we can train our minds, renew our minds to think that way, then it'll be so much easier for us to have a healthy, you know, self-esteem or feeling about ourselves. And I think that word self-esteem is kind of, I know what it means, but you know, God didn't ever talk about self-esteem. You know, we're not supposed to be thinking about ourselves all the time. We're supposed to be thinking about God and the things of Him. And when we realize that, you know, everything good about us is from God, and He loves me, and there's nothing I can possibly do to make Him not love me. I can't go anywhere than hide from Him or be away from Him. And that, you know, He's chosen me to do something special on this earth. Then it's easier not to fall in love with this earth around us and the things of it. You know, when this happened. Well, I can't remember. But we had a class with young women, and the thing that they were most concerned about and worried about was they're valued. You know, they didn't feel like they had a place in this world as Christian young women. And in a way, it's going to be that way. But when we realize that God is able to do everything and that He is the one who fills our needs, then it's easier for us to not get caught up in that feeling of, you know, I'm not valuable to this system of belief. Because, you know, we're not valuable to the world. And that's okay, because we won't be here for very long, really. And so our you know, Ecclesiastes calls it our long home. If we can realize that there's a home that's our long home, it's where we're all going to go and live for a long, long time, and what you look like has absolutely no, you know, there's nothing about what you look like in heaven. You know, we're a soul, we're a spirit, and that's how we'll be. And that when our true self is revealed, then this body won't matter anymore. And the things that it could do won't matter anymore. Self-esteem in Christian women is going to look totally different, you know, from others. Because it will be all about Christ. And I want to make sure, I'm not talking about being good, you know, trying to be good and do everything right. I'm talking about just knowing that I'm wanting to be closer and closer to Christ. I'm wanting to love Him more and more each day. And when I'm doing that, then I do become more and more like Him. His essence will shine out through me, not because I'm, you know, trying so hard to be good, but that I'm trying so hard to be like Him. It's not about me and what I can do. It's about Him and how He is so good, and I want to be so much like Him. The world is constantly striving to be recognized, to be more, to have an excess of things. But we can't do anything to make ourselves greater in God's eyes. He loves us. You know, He created us the way He wants us to be. He made that special combination of talents and traits and characteristics that make you you and that make you super special to Him. And that's our identity. And that's when we can realize that, that's what brings peace to us, because we're not so concerned about the outside. I don't know how long, we have a minute, don't we? Okay. Would y'all mind just kind of talking about this? If you have any comments or whatever, because this is kind of a, you know, it's a huge issue with women today. What do you think about it? What have you done maybe as moms that has helped your children to realize that that's not the main thing? Yeah. Yeah. It is, yeah. That's a great point. I'm so glad you said that. Did y'all hear her? The magazines, the TV, all that stuff. It's your choice as a mom and dad, you know, if you let your kids watch that stuff. And I don't know. I mean, we don't have channels. We've got like two channels. And so we don't get a lot of this, you know, young teen TV kind of stuff. But I saw an episode of one of the ABC something at somebody's house not too long ago. And it's incredible how bad that stuff is. It really is. I was shocked because I just haven't seen it. And, you know, be wise.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and another huge thing. I know y'all. I know you know this, but the computer. I mean, the epidemic of porn addiction. I don't know if you. I mean, I guess you know this with young boys. Do you know? Be really, really careful with these. You know, with whose house they go to. All these things. Just make sure they know what their parameters are. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. What? Yeah. That's a great, yeah. That's a great point. So good. What's it called? I'm sorry.
Virtual.
Oh, okay, yeah. So true. I think too, and one thing I've really noticed lately with our high schoolers and for the last few years is that the lack of respect for on both sides. You have girls that totally disrespect their male peers, and then the same. And that is I mean, that's a whole other topic. But you're right, teaching the boys that, you know, well, and to train themselves not to look, you know, when things like that. But anyway, but yeah, that's a great point. I felt inadequate to kind of talk about that lesson because I'm not sure I have it all together. Of course I don't, but it's such an insidious thing, you know, and even as much as we try, you know, it just seeps in, you know, and I hate that. I hate to see women feeling, you know, bad about themselves when they're so valuable to God and to everybody around them just because of something that the world has said. Okay. Oh, yes. Yeah. 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 That's true. Yeah, that's an awesome point. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. Well, again, thank y'all so much for having us here. We've so enjoyed it, and just know we'll be praying for y'all, and hopefully we will see you again. And we're so impressed by this group. Thank you.